And we're back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN. Thanks again to all our guests from the National Bio and Agri Defense Facility. We're going to transition over to a conversation with General Perry Wiggins of the Governor's Military Council. It's been a while since I've had a chance to sit down and speak with you. It's over the phone, but it's still a great chance to catch up again, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. I always appreciate the opportunity to discuss the important things about our military here in the state.
And for those who maybe haven't had a chance to sit in on any of our conversations or your conversations with Brandon, can you give a little briefing on what the Governor's Military Council is and does?
Yeah, it's the governor has put forth a council, and it's from individuals all across the state, from really all walks of life. We have civilian aides, the Secretary of the Army, to sit on there. We have legislators, a total number of three. And then we also have ex officio members, primarily our educational assistants. Kansas State University has a representative. So does KU and Fort Hays State University, as well as Wichita State University. And we all come together to talk about issues and things that impact our state militarily. And that can be from force structure, it can be from missions, it can be quality of life, it can be economic impacts as well. And we try to package those issues and provide recommendations to the governor on an azimuth and a velocity we need to move out in order to either improve quality of life, for example, or economic footprint. And so for us, the important thing is to remain really to the right of the issue so that we can stay proactive instead of reactive here in the state.
And before we came on, we were talking about some legislative issues or topics that y'all are a little bit involved in. And one of the ones you were discussing was the Gold Star Memorial at the State House. Let's talk about some of the legislative things that are in the pot here in Kansas.
Sure. Thanks, Nick. I mean, you know, Kansas has always been a strong military state, supportive of our military. And so one of the things that we have been really behind the power curve on here in the state is a lack of a Gold Star Memorial on our State House grounds. And so the governor recognized that. She asked to take a look at installing a monument on the State House ground that really honors and recognizes those families and relatives who have experienced the ultimate sacrifice by the loss of a loved one in conflict in support of our liberties and freedoms. And so this is something that we took a look at. Of course, there's a process when you start talking about putting monuments on Capitol grounds. So we went through the State Historic Preservation Committee, got the approval. We got the design. It has to be in commensurate with other monuments that are there on the state grounds. We've got approval for that. And now we're in the process of legislation that's been introduced to get it approved to be placed on the grounds, establish an account so that we can go out and raise money for the monument itself. And then we hopefully will dedicate the monument late summer, probably late August, on the Capitol grounds. And that'll be a great day. And it's we'll correct an oversight we have here in the state, I believe.
Yeah, when you talk about it, it reminds me some of the POW-MIA efforts to get installations of memorials here in Riley County and Manhattan. And those programs or those memorials were taken up with a lot of passion to get them installed in the first place. And it always seems to be a great message to the community when these memorials are put up. Everyone seems very into really appreciate having the recognition and showing appreciation to those who gave their lives.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the other thing it does is it really communicates to those families and those relatives that are out there that their loved one will never be forgotten, and that we truly appreciate their sacrifice and the freedoms that we enjoy today are in large part to their ultimate sacrifice. And so I think this is a great opportunity for our state to really recognize and honor those families. And at the same time, it generates discussion among young people. I'm one of those people, when I walk by a monument or a memorial or something, I read the inscription normally associated with them, then it makes me want to go out and learn more. I think that's important, and it helps us stay connected to our past and really appreciate the future that we have.
you know, it also sends a signal to those who've come home. And because it's so important to be able to see yourself in reflections of yourself and your experiences in the community, to be able to feel a place in the community. So having these monuments can help those who have come home feel at home here as well.
Oh, I agree. You know, as somebody who's commanded at all levels up to the division, you know, I have, that is one of our sacred duties, is to respect our fallen and pay tribute to our fallen. We do a great job in our military recognizing our fallen. But an extension of that is those families. They're always a part of our family. And so for me, I think this is an opportunity for those that have served and wore the cloth of the nation to contribute to a memorial that really recognizes and honors those friends that we had in our ranks that didn't return, and tells those families and shows those families that we genuinely care about them, and this recognition shows that they're still and will always be a part of our family.
And this initiative, I understand, has gotten a fair amount of support. You're just going through the process at this point, and it's just a matter of connecting all the dots and getting the paperwork done in the proper way.
Well, no, it's got a great amount of bipartisan support, as you would imagine. I mean, this is not this is something everybody can get behind. Senator Longbine is introducing it into the Senate, and Representative Mike Dodson there is representing it into the House here in the state. And they have co-sponsors from both parties that have really come on board to support this legislation. And so our senators and our Congress members here in the state have really signed on. I mean, you know, Tom Hawk, for example, and we really appreciate that. But I think this is something we can all lock arms on and move to get it passed. And I don't see any issues, primarily because it's the right thing to do.
Another legislative topic you brought up was all before we got on the call was the Purple Star School Program. And I must say that was the first time I'd heard of it when you mentioned it to me. So I'm curious to hear more about it.
Well, you know, I think what's important about these type of programs is the Department of Defense is starting to grade. And I don't like to use the word grade, but they're starting to take a look at communities and then base quality of life on certain metrics. And one of those is education and really education of military-connected children. The Purple Star School Program is a program that's established. And what it does is it really responds to the educational and social and emotional needs of military-connected children as they conduct transitions. Our military members are not unique to some of our civilian counterparts. They move over the nation and all over the world, for that matter, and they do it with a frequency that sometimes it's pretty disruptive. And so this program is designed to really help keep them on track so that if they want to go to college or be a part of the workforce, they're life ready. And that's what the Purple Star School Program is. And we have a couple of schools, several schools here in the state that are already Purple Star School Program participants. I believe that the Manhattan School District is moving toward that particular end. And so for us, passing it legislatively just recognizes the state and recognizes some of the efforts that we're already doing. But I think it's important to send that message to the Department of Defense that Kansas takes educating our military-connected children and taking care of them to the next level. And therefore, when they do come in to take a look at quality of life, specifically education, they understand that we're serious about it and that we take it to the highest level.
And I can imagine a program like this serves as kind of like a constant in the life of a child where maybe their situation is changing more often than they're used to.
I agree. You know, my case, for example, every time we moved somewhere in my 34 years, my wife would draw a circle around a map and it would be the school. And this is the housing area that we want you to live. Military members take very seriously where their kids get educated because of that concern and for the transition and making sure that that's smooth. This will help, I believe, standardize programs across the nation to ensure that there's least amount of impact for those students that are transitioning from one school district to another, or even one state to another. And so I agree with you, Nick. This is important. It's something that I think our state can do, and we're going to introduce legislation this year that's going to help Kansas be recognized as a Purple Star school program state.
9:46 here at News Radio KMAN, talking to General Perry Wiggins. Time for a break, our last break of the morning. When we come back, we'll conclude our conversation here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.